We're going to read the Word of God this morning from Hebrews 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permit. For it is impossible that those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Those last two verses are the sermon text this morning. Let me read them once again. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I wouldn't care to guess, my dear fellow saints, how often the Bible describes our Christian life as a journey, or even pictures it as a journey. Usually, of course, as a pilgrimage, a foot journey from one place to another. But our life is a journey, isn't it? From birth to death, from this world to the next, from earth to heaven. Here in Hebrews 6, these last two verses, the Bible uses that idea that our life is a journey. Only it describes our life, much of it by implication, as a voyage. A voyage across the seas of life. From here to our home in heaven, across very stormy and often wild seas. That lies behind what the Word of God says here in these last two verses of Hebrews 6. But because our life is like a voyage, we need an anchor, even today. In spite of all the modern technology that we enjoy, there isn't a ship that sails without an anchor. And for our great spiritual voyage, we need an anchor too, don't we? An anchor to keep us from going shipwreck in those storms of life. An anchor to keep us from losing our course when those storms blow wildly and fiercely. And the Word of God tells us here that we have an anchor. An anchor called hope. And it's to that Word of God that I call your attention this morning. We're going to describe, take a look at that anchor, and I'm going to try to describe it for you. In some ways, it's an anchor like no other anchor that ever existed. And then I want to show you, too, our need for that anchor. That almost goes without saying. But we do well to take a look at that too. And finally, want to talk about the fact that there are times in our lives, yours as well as mine, when it seems like we don't have an anchor. I'm sure that most of us have experienced that. And I want to do my best to answer the question why that is. Because the Word of God, of course, assures us here that we have an anchor, sure and steadfast. So the theme of this morning's sermon is an anchor for the soul. And we're going to look at that under 3 points, described, needed, and used. An anchor for the soul, described, needed, and used. Now you understand, I trust, that this is a spiritual anchor. It's not made of iron or steel. It's not something you can put your hand on in the same way that you put your hand on the anchor of a ship. Spiritual anchor. But that doesn't make it any less real. Don't ever think that spiritual things are less real than things like this. They're usually, I think always, more real than ordinary physical things. And that's true of this anchor too. When there are no ships sailing the seas of this world, and no more anchors manufactured by those who make them, then we will still have this spiritual anchor. And it's well described as an anchor too, because it does what an anchor ought to do. It keeps our souls steady through the storms of life. It keeps the ship of our souls from going shipwreck when storms and winds are blowing. So in some ways, it's like any other anchor, except for the fact that it's spiritual. But as I said a moment ago, this anchor is in other ways the most unusual anchor you will ever know about. For one thing, that's here in the text, this anchor is sure and steadfast. It means, first of all, that anchor will never break. That sometimes happens, of course, with other anchors. But it also means that anchor will never let go. Sure and steadfast. At times where a ship has its anchor out, but it doesn't do any good because the anchor doesn't hold. The storm is too fierce. But never, never this anchor. So in that way, it's a very unusual anchor. But there are some other ways too, and I want you to think about that this morning, in which this anchor is most unusual and like no other. And the first is, your children can think about that too, this anchor doesn't go down, but it goes up. That's verse 19. Sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Our souls are anchored to heaven. Amazing, isn't it? And wonderful. Not just anchored, but anchored to heaven. And that means, too, that's the second wonderful thing about this anchor, that our anchor is already at its destination. Think about that once. Maybe you can, those of you who are Dutch anyway, or who have Dutch ancestry, could think of your grandparents or great-grandparents sailing from the Netherlands to the United States, maybe from Rotterdam to New York. And as they leave the harbor, they notice that the anchor is out. One of them says to the captain, "There's something wrong. You have to pull in the anchor before we can sail." He says, no, that anchor is already in New York Harbor, where we're headed, already at our destination. That's what the Word of God is saying here about this spiritual anchor. It's already at our eternal home and destination in heaven. And that's wonderful, isn't it? No earthly anchor like that is there. But that means, if that anchor is already at our destination, and that's the other wonderful thing about this anchor, that means that it's that anchor that gets us to our destination. It draws us across the seas of life all the way to where we're going. To that haven of rest where all the storms will be finished and where we'll find rest and peace forever. Now that doesn't mean, I trust you understand that, that doesn't mean that you mustn't set your course for heaven. You had better set your course for heaven. And not set it in any other direction. Or you'll go shipwrecked. You better learn from the Word of God, if I may use the figure that's in the text. You had better learn to set your sails for heaven and to wrestle with wheel and tiller so that you don't go off course in your spiritual life. And when everything else fails, you had better get out your oars, your spiritual oars, and you had better row your heart out. But when you get to your destination, then you're going to find that it wasn't your rowing that got you there. It wasn't the fact that you wrestled with wheel and tiller that got you there. It wasn't you setting your course faithfully for heaven that got you there, but your anchor that drew you through all of life's troubles and trials to your final destination. And you'll find, too, that nothing else would have gotten you there, that all your efforts, as godly, as biblical as they might have been, would have been in vain without that anchor. And that too makes this an anchor like no other, doesn't it? What is that anchor? You know? Hope, book of Hebrews says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. But you have to understand that the Bible uses that word hope in slightly different ways. Sometimes when the Bible talks about hope, it's talking about our hoping. I hope for this. I hope for that. Kind of a wish, although in the Bible that hoping is much more than a wish, it's assurance. When I say, for example, I'm hoping for heaven, then I mean I know I'm going to be there. But that's not the way the word's used here in Hebrews 6. It doesn't refer to our hoping, but I hope you can follow me. I don't know how else to say this. It refers to what we call the object of our hope. When I say, I hope for heaven, then I mean that heaven is the object of my hope. What I am hoping for. And that's the way the word's used here in Hebrews 6 refers to the object of our hope, what we are hoping for. But in this case, it's not heaven. It's not something, but it's someone. Christ Himself. He is our hope. And because He's our hope, He's the anchor of our souls. He's the one, that's the verse, who's entered into that which is within the veil. It's that verse that makes it clear that this is a reference to Christ, that He is our anchor. And verse 20 confirms that when it speaks of His entrance into heaven. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's your anchor. My dear fellow believers, your only anchor. And when someday you're in heaven, then you will say, yes, I rode, I wrestled with wheel and tiller, but it was Christ who drew me here as the anchor of my soul. No other way could I ever have come here. No other way could I ever have weathered all those storms and troubles. No other way could I have avoided shipwreck and disaster in that great spiritual journey that we call the Christian life. Christ alone is my hope. You see? And verse 20 makes reference to His saving work in different ways. Calls Him Jesus, one who saves us from our sins. Refers to Him as a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and refers again to the sacrifice that He made on the cross for our sins. But it does that by way of emphasizing what verse 19 says, that this anchor is sure and steadfast. It won't break. It won't come loose, if you will. And it won't, because that anchor was designed in the counsels of eternity by God Himself, and forged, not in any earthly furnace, but in the fires of God's wrath on the cross, and is riveted to our souls by the work of the Holy Spirit. Sure and steadfast, indeed. Christ our anchor. So when you read Hebrews 6, don't forget that. Don't forget when you read verse 19 to read it this way, really. Which hope? Christ. We have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. That's the first point of this morning's sermon. Hardly have to tell you that we need an anchor like that, do I? That letter we read this morning reminds us of the storms that are blowing in our own churches. And you know how that affects us. Not all of us in the same way. Some of us, as a result of controversy, feel utterly at sea as far as the doctrines are concerned. Doctrines that are being argued and debated. Don't know where we're at. We feel like we've lost our course. when things like this happen. And it's at times like that that we need an anchor so that we don't lose our way, so that we don't go off course and start speaking evil of others with whom we don't agree, so that we don't get involved in backbiting, gossip, and slander, and all of the rest. They'll become angry at those with whom, foolishly and sinfully angry, with those with whom we disagree. Need an anchor. But those storms don't just blow up in the church, do they? Blow up in the family too, and in marriage. And it sometimes doesn't seem like we're going to survive those storms. And then we need to read again what the Word of God says in Hebrews 6. Which hope we have as an anchor for the soul. Sometimes those storms are very personal. Whatever the cause may be, nobody else knows what winds are contrary and what storms are blowing within us. Discouraged, afraid, troubled, unable to find any peace, angry, bitter. It's for such times as those that the Word of God speaks of this anchor. In fact, it seems sometimes, doesn't it, that life is almost always stormy. Hardly a moment of calm, a moment of peace. And then, of course, we come to the end of life and we have to make our way through that last dark, stormy night that we call death. And it seems sometimes that it is impossible to face that last awful, awful storm. Whether we're the one dying or the one who's being left behind. And we even say, I don't know how I can get through this. And the Word of God says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. You have that, you know, it's not just your experience and mine. The writer of Psalm 42 describes such stormy times in his life. Psalm 42, beginning with verse 6, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. You ever felt like that? You have, then the Word of God here in Hebrews 6 is for you. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. And the Word of God talks about our souls there because our souls have to do with our feelings, our emotions, our spiritual life, our inner life. And we're troubled, as the writer of Psalm 42 was. Then that has to do with our soul. Remember Jesus in the garden? Now is my soul troubled, even unto death. And what shall I say? Lord, deliver me from this hour. Afraid? It's really your soul that's afraid by what's ahead. Head for yourself, for your children and grandchildren. When you think about all the political changes that are taking place, about the moral decline of our country and our society, and you're afraid for the future, then that's your soul. Bitter, angry over what's happened. That's your soul that's bitter and angry. And that's why the Word of God speaks of this anchor too, as an anchor for the soul. Sure and steadfast. We have it. You do. I do. But why then, and there's that question, why then does it seem to me sometime? Often? But I have no anchor. Why does it seem to me when there's controversy in the churches that I'm blown this way and that way till I no longer know where I'm at? Don't know what to do. Which way to turn? What to think? Why does that happen if the Word of God here in Hebrews 6 is true? Why is it that when there's trials, and most of us haven't seen much of trials, nothing like what's going to come anyway, why is it that when trials come, so troubled and distressed, seems like there's no point even in going on? Constant pain and suffering. Endless grief. What's the matter? Am I without this anchor then? Is that anchor, after all, not sure and steadfast? I'm absolutely certain that as we talk about these things this morning, about the strength of that anchor, about the fact that it's an anchor for the soul, about the wonderful, wonderful character of this anchor, that there are some who are asking that question, where's my anchor? What's wrong? Is it, as some have said, that while the one end of that anchor is in heaven, anchored in the presence of God behind the veil, Christ Himself entered into the holy places, that the problem is at the other end? That I'm supposed to be holding on to that anchor? And that because I'm not holding on as I should, that I, without an anchor, if you want to know what I think of that idea, it's ridiculous. You want to find out how ridiculous it is? Visit a ship sometime and try to pick up just one link of the chain that holds a ship's anchor. You won't be able to do it. And the idea that I somehow have to hold on to that anchor, it's utterly ridiculous. That anchor, my soul's anchor, depends on me, on my strength and ability to hang on to it. And I have no anchor at all. But what's the problem then? Well, the previous verse, I didn't take that as part of the sermon text. But the previous verse talks about laying hold on the hope set before us. And there's the answer to those questions. It doesn't have anything to do with me having to hold one end of that anchor if it's going to be sure and steadfast. Nothing like that. I'm utterly incapable of doing that. And no ship is ever, no captain of a ship is ever going to put one end of the anchor chain in my hands and say, "Now it's up to you to hang on." But I do have to lay hold, as Hebrews says, of that hope. Maybe you could think of it like this, of being on the deck of a ship in the middle of a storm, danger of being washed overboard, barely make it a few steps on the deck of the ship, and terrified, utterly terrified that ship is going to go down. Like the disciples were in the Sea of Galilee. But somehow or other, you make your way to the front of the ship and you put your hand on that chain, that anchor. And you feel that it's holding. That's what the Word of God is talking about. And that's what you and I must do. In troubled times, go, as Hebrews says, flee for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. You do that with this, not just by putting your hand on it, of course, but by reading again of all that anchor was designed by God Himself, not by any man. Christ and His saving work in the decrees of Almighty God is the design of that anchor and forged in the fires of the cross. And then you feel, if I may use that word, the strength and steadfastness of that anchor. Do that through prayer. Do that even by encouraging and speaking to one another in times of need. Flee for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before you. You have to do that now. You heard that letter this morning. You had better do what Hebrews Hebrews 6, verse 18 says, trouble in marriage and family? Flee for refuge to lay hold again on that hope set before you. Troubled in soul and mind and spirit, distressed, afraid, worried, there's what the Word of God says to you. And I tell you, beloved, you know that, though. I tell you that that anchor will hold. And though the winds are contrary, and the storm impossible, or so it seems, that that anchor will serve its purpose and will finally draw us, you, me, to our haven of rest, where never again a storm will blow. There's a Psalter number that talks about that. Maybe should have chosen it, chosen to sing it. This morning I didn't, but here it is. Put yourself into this Psalter number, 295, Psalm 107. They that traffic on the sea, while unceasing watch they keep, see Jehovah's majesty and his wonders in the deep. For he bids the storm wind fly, lifting ocean's waves on high. That's life. By the billows heavenward tossed, down to dreadful depths again, troubled much, their courage lost, reeling they like drunken men, find their skill and power o'erthrown. None can save but God alone. To Jehovah then they cry in their trouble, and he saves, drives the darkness from the sky, calms the storm and stills the waves, makes their sad forebodings cease, to their haven guides in peace. And all because, as Hebrews says, we have hope, Christ our hope, as an anchor of the soul. You believe that, don't you? Amen. Father, we thank thee for what we've heard from thy word this morning. May thy word continue to give us hope and peace in these troubled times. And may our hope bring us through all these troubles and trials to our home in glory, where we will see him who is our anchor and our hope and all of our salvation. In his name we pray, with the pardon of our sins. Amen.